So we're going to start in the Chof Beis on the Beis. First, one line before the Ba'al. Tanu Rabbanu. Alright? Tanu Rabbanu. Haya Oymed B'Tfila. Person is in the middle of davening. Umayim Shoisesim Al Birkov. And suddenly water starts dripping on his knees. This is a nice way of saying that he starts urinating. Now the truth is that this actually is something that could be people who have certain conditions. I was actually asked this question by people who are in a situation where this is likely to happen. Water starts dripping on his knees. He doesn't have... So he's urinating in the middle of davening. Poisek ad sheyichlo amayim. He should stop davening until the water finishes dripping. Vechoizer umispal. And then he resumes his davening. Now, Lehechon choizer. Where should he go back to? Meaning he was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, he was up to Rifa'enu. Then he started dripping. When he finishes, what should he begin? Should he pick up where he left off? So Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Machlokes is Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna. Chad Omar Choizel Roish. One says, you have to start again. If you stop Shemoneh Esrei because he started urinating, you have to go back to the beginning. V'chad Omar, and the other says, no, V'mokoyim Sheposak. You simply go back to where you left off. What's the machlokes here? Why?
The beginning of the bracha that you left off with, or
what's that?
The beginning of the bracha you left off with, or exactly where you left off?
I believe exactly where you left off. I'm not sure. But certainly not. It doesn't meaning. It's okay if you go back to the beginning of the bracha, anyways. But from that bracha, I'm not sure if it means that it's actually that word. You go back to the beginning of the bracha. I'm not sure. So now the Gemara asks, what is the basis of the Machlokes here? What would be the... Why would we think that you go back to the beginning? So the Gemara says, Lema Baal Kamiflagi. It would seem that they're arguing about the following. Masova, one holds, Im Shoh Kedei Ligmar Eskula. See, really there's a general Machlokes. Not just about a person who's urinating. But what happens if a person, for whatever reason, pauses in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? And he has a significant pause, waits for a while. Is there a passage of time that constitutes a break and says that now you got to start from the beginning again? So the answer is machlokes. Some say that if you waited long enough to finish Shemoneh Esrei, that's already called too much of a break and you have to go back to the beginning. Right, right. Mishnah Berurah says that it's each person according to his norm. What's that?
If you were starting now.
Makes sense. I'm not sure. We're going to really address this more at length later in the perek, but I'm not sure. Whatever it is, why should he have to go back to the beginning because of urinating? Must be that the point here really is something else. The guy urinated and he waited for a while and he waited long enough to finish. That's why one opinion says he has to go back, not because of the urine per se. The other opinion says, no, even if you stopped long enough to finish the whole Shemoneh Esrei, you just go back to where you left off. So if so, the point really is not the urination. The point is just that you paused for too long. Yeah. So Omar Avashi. Avashi says, if so, the Brice is presented in a misleading way. So the Brice should have said, well, it depends how long you broke for. Brice didn't say anything about a break. So obviously that's not the discussion here. And? Right, right. This is a relevant question that I've been asked. We'll see soon how this would actually manifest Lamaisa. We'll see soon. So, Ella, rather Ravashi says no. De kule alma imsho kedei ligmor es kula choyzo l'roish. Now everybody agrees that if you did break for long enough to finish all of Shemoneh Esrei, you would have to go back. That's clear. The hasam b'deloy shahakam iflagi. And on the contrary, here the question is the urination. We're talking about a case where he did not break for so long. It was a quick break. Broke for about a half a minute. Okay? And the masav, and the question is, if the very urination makes you go back to the beginning or not. What's the question?
Well, would you have to first take a break and leave the shul?
So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Not so simple. Let's see. So the Gemara says, Masava gavru dechuyu. One holds that if a person urinates in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, that's it. That renders his Shemoneh Esrei invalid. Why this should be, we'll see momentarily. It's an interesting shaila. Vein roi. So that constitutes the epitome of a break. Like if you reach a point in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you just can't continue. You're not allowed to continue. You're not allowed to be davening. That's the biggest break there is, and therefore you got to start again. And the other opinion says, no, this person was never rendered invalid with tefillah say tefillah. His tefillah counts. So Rashi explains this as follows. The question is like this. A guy, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, all of a sudden water starts dripping. Presumably, if a person suddenly has water coming out in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, he had to go before he started. Right? Presumably. What's that? Not necessarily. Right. But let's see. So, but presumably, in normal cases. Yeah. But we'll address some of the cases we're not. Right. We're going to address that. But, presumably, in an ordinary case, right? Typical guy, he had to go when he started Shemoneh Esrei. So here the machlokes is, the question is as follows. If a person, what? Is the fact that you started davening Shemoneh Esrei while you needed to urinate, does that invalidate your Shemoneh Esrei or not? That's the machlokes. So one opinion says, yeah. The point is not that you urinated in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Your Shemoneh Esrei is invalid because you started Shemoneh Esrei having to go. Even if you wouldn't have urinated in the middle, you would have to repeat your Shemoneh Esrei. Just a second. Even if you wouldn't have urinated in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you'd have to repeat it. Because the very fact that you had to go renders your whole Shemoneh Esrei invalid. And the other opinion, let me just finish. The other opinion says that no, having to urinate does not disqualify your tefillah. We'll see.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
But there are times, I'm sure it's happened others also, that you feel like you have the urge to go, you try to go, you don't go.
Right, we'll get to that.
If you have some urination, you end up here. And I think it has to do with in terms of time.
72, if you can hold it a certain amount of time.
I think it's 72
minutes.
That's coming up. We're going to see. That's the next Gemara. Okay, so that's the machloikis here. So Lamaisa, this is a, let's just break down all the information that we have in this little piece of Gemara, because on Maaseh it breaks into a lot of different halachas, like the Olam has already been bringing up. So first of all, let's start with the last question. So this Maaseh is a machlokes in the poskim. We know that the halacha is that if a person begins Shemoneh Esrei having to defecate, it is definitely invalid. It's an absolute no-no. What's that? Well, we'll see the time factor, but here we're talking about a guy who obviously was not able to hold out, because he came in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? So if a person starts having to he has to defecate, and he can't hold out for the 72 minutes, that's definitely no good. Meaning, even if he makes it through Shemoneh Esrei, he was able to hold out for the 5 minutes. But davening Shemoneh Esrei having to defecate is definitely no good, as we'll learn soon. Here, the way Rashi's understanding it is that we have a machlokes about urinating, if it's the same story or not. Meaning, as we'll see soon, if you have to urinate, you definitely have to go before davening. You're not allowed to begin davening having to urinate. Okay? But the question is, what happens b'di'evad? If you did daven while you had the urge to urinate? So let's see. Oh, so that's the machlokes here. One opinion says, yes, you have to say it over just like with defecation. And the other opinion says, no, having to urinate is different. And lamaisa to machlokes in halacha. It's important to know that. Well, it shouldn't be important to know that the truth is, because again, lichat chila, you definitely are obligated to take care of your needs before you begin davening. The question is, what happens after the fact if you did not? So if you needed to defecate, and you weren't able to hold out, you needed to defecate and you daven, you definitely have to daven again. That's definitely an invalid davening. But if you daven having to urinate, that is a machloikis b'dieved, whether the tefillah is valid or not. So the obligation to take care of your needs applies to everything. But Shimon Esrei is more severe in the after the fact. Meaning the fact that the dieved, you're not yotze, is more severe with Shimon Esrei. So really, in order to address that question, along with some of the other questions that were raised here, I'm going to back up to the beginning of this piece, in which we stated, again, about this person who started urinating in the middle, right? Started dripping out in the middle. Now, let's note something interesting. The Gemara said he should wait till it finishes, and then he resumes his davening. Now, Lamaisa, we follow the opinion that such a person would go back to where he left off. Meaning, wait for the urine to finish dripping, and then he'd go back to where he left off. So now the question is, one thing though, go back to where you left off, but you're Milo Shimon Esrei, right? It started dripping out. You go back to where you left off, do you go home to change first? Normally, you're not allowed to daven near a puddle of urine.
Right. This whole thing, you can't be talking about somebody who's healthier normally. You have to be talking about somebody who's sick.
So let's talk about someone who's sick now, because that's really where this halacha is most relevant.
I mean, no, but it can't just be the idea that the urine is urinating. If you have what you want, you go to the bathroom before you start to daven.
Right. Right, right. So let's address such a scenario. How does that work? That's on the Doraisa level. And that's going to be part of what we're about to discuss. So let's see. So yes, let's talk about a person who has a problem. He has a problem, and he's liable to start dripping without prior notice. Okay? So it starts dripping out, right? And the halacha is that yes, when he finishes, he resumes Shemoneh Esrei. The fact that it was dripping in the middle does not render his tefillah invalid. He resumes from where he left off. Now, what happens with the fact that now his clothing are wet? Right? So, what the Poskim say lemaisa is that since, as Reb Shloimeh just mentioned, the prohibition of davening near urine is only derabbanan. Prohibition of davening near excrement is d'oraisa. There's no room for any discussion. You can't, and that's all. Better not to daven. Right? But, since the prohibition of davening near urine is only d'rabbanan, and you are already in middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? So the Chachamim said, we're going to be more lenient here. And as long as it's covered with other clothing, let's say, right? Let's say you have a coat on or something like that. As long as it's covered with other clothing, person is okay. If it's not covered with other clothing, or let's say there's actually a puddle on the floor, right? This will depend on how much came out. Yes, even though his inner clothing are wet, as long as it's covered with other clothing that are not wet, you can continue. That's right. That's right. That's right. If Lamaisa person is wearing one of these diapers, he can continue.
So what about the fact that not somebody who's in a wearing a diaper, but somebody who just happened to have an accident?
Right.
Then what about the fact that you're now uncomfortable and you really don't have the kavanah that you should about it?
Right. All right. Yes, they realized it was a mistake. What's that?
You don't have the kavanah. You can understand they are comfortable with the fasting.
Right. I don't know. I didn't see that factored in by the poskim. I don't know. I hear. Well, the truth is that this.
Why I thought the mere fact that the clothing are wet, that you should leave.
Well, we start by saying that you're not obligated. That's what the guy doesn't want. Right, we'll start by saying you're not obligated. Now you're asking a different question. May you? Right? We're starting from a different place.
You're dealing with Sman and everything else. You've got a number of factors that you're dealing with, which takes the priority.
What? Meaning the fact that there's limited time?
You're in the middle of davening,
right?
And you have the accident, and then. But you realize that if you don't finish your own ashray, then you're going to have to say exactly your own ashray tomorrow because you really didn't
right.
play.
So this, in
so,
these situations,
so
right? So in these situations, when, since Lamaisa, you are allowed to continue again as long as it's not wet all the way through. You are allowed to continue. A person is encouraged to continue. Person should. I mean, part of the point is we don't want you to stop your Shemoneh Esrei in the middle because it's like in the regular person who's middle Shemoneh Esrei.
Wet all the way through, meaning it's visible from the outside.
And not visible, but the outer clothing are wet. The outer clothing are wet. It's not a question of visible or not visible.
The
question is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even this. Damp means wet enough that if you touch it, you'll be able to touch something else and make it wet. By the way, this is just an important. Definition to introduce because it's going to be relevant as we're going through. There's going to be a lot of discussion as we're going on about how wet something is. There's something that's called really wet and damp. Damp is often treated more leniently than really wet. What's the definition of damp as opposed to really wet? Tefes chamanas latfiach, which means if you can touch your finger to it and then the next thing you touch will be wet, that's called wet. If not, it's damp.
It really depends what you touch.
What's that?
Touch a sheet of glass, or you touch a fabric, it's
going to
have two different effects.
So touching anything. Sometimes something is so damp that your finger is really not going to be wet.
No,
or barely going to be wet. It's not going to convey even to a piece of glass.
For sure, in a piece of, like, let's say, cotton, it will be absorbed immediately and it will not be apparent.
Fine. Okay, no, I'm saying you're touching your clothing. Question is how damp your clothing are. Okay, so now, if it can make anything wet, that's called wet. If it can't, because it's so it's so mildly damp that you're not even really going to come away with any residue on your finger, that even if you touch a piece of glass, it won't be wet, that's called damp. That's not called wet.
So glass is a test to make
a
more
lenient, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know.
What's
that?
Yeah.
No, the outermost garment. Meaning, it's only going to be a problem. You'll only not be allowed to continue if your outermost garment you're wearing is wet, pants or a coat or whatever it is. Yeah. So again, let's get it clear. So again, in a situation where a person did have an accident, whatever the circumstances were, in a situation where a person did have an accident, as long as his outermost garment is not wet, he's allowed to continue. Okay? If it is wet, or if there's a puddle on the floor, then not. This is how we paskin ideally, even this is disputed, but then not. Then a person should step away or whatever it is, change, cover it with something else or whatever. But even here we'll say that in a situation, sometimes you have a situation where a person knows that he's not going to be able to, you know, he knows that he can't make it through 15 minutes or whatever it is, he'll never be able to daven mincha. In such a situation, we say that yes, you can rely on the opinion that even if it's mamish wet, even if there's a puddle on the floor, once it happened while you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you can just continue. Again, based on this point that we raised before, that the whole isser of davening in the vicinity of urine is only derabbanan. And therefore, they were more lenient once a person is already in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, so that's what comes out of this Gemara Lamaisa, which, as I was pointing out, this could definitely be Lamaisa. should all be gesund. Shouldn't be relevant, but it definitely could be lemaisa.
What about those Ahmadul Islam, all the other people who have these bags, you know, gets collected on the side?
Oh, so how it works with that, with those sorts of situations, we'll see. That we'll be Ezra Hashem touch on all these different points as we go along. Shall is if such a situation is called a healthy year or not, I don't know. Possibly. So you're saying that would be you think that would be another conceivable scenario with just happening out of the blue?
I'm maybe. What is the objective?
What?
What is the objective?
You say whatever.
Urine.
Urine. No. Only urine here. We're finished with carry. Urine.
So, as
you're a
shemayim, you're saying that can happen. Well, a person has is full of fear, and
exactly. Stop. Fear can make it happen.
It can come about.
Whatever. I guess if it would, we'd apply these rules. But okay. Okay.
So he's afraid of Hashem, like the Nazi burgers that were pointing bugs at people and things like that.
All right.
Why not? That's
because
I'll have something to do.
All right. Let's move on. Okay. Tanarava. Now we move on to the broader subject. Anitrach lanekavav al yispalo. A person who has to go to the bathroom may not daven. Ve'im yispalo, and if he did daven, tefilos hayteiva. His tefillah is an abomination. Just an avera, he wasn't yoytze, nothing. Now we come to the qualifications that Ilam raised here before. Omar Rav Zvid, v'itemer Rav Yehuda. Either Rav Zvid or Rav Yehuda said, Loishano elosh.
You
mean in the next tefillah, or you mean just to daven again afterwards? If it's still within the time of mincha, he has to daven again afterwards. If he missed the time of mincha, he doesn't daven ma'ariv twice because this is called pesheya.
We try very hard not to disqualify one who's answered tefillah because of that fact that it makes all those other brachas.
That's why a person should try very hard not to daven when he has to go to the bathroom. That's have to try very hard to daven right so that your tefillah does not become invalid. Try very hard not to make brachos levatala so your brachos don't become levatala. That's right. It's not Chazal's problem, it's our problem to adhere to the halachas. Right? So if a person davens when he has to go, his tefillah is an abomination. Omar Azvid, the Temer of Yehuda, Loishanu Elo She'ena Yochol Ishoitz Behatzma. That's only if he could not hold off long enough. Avalim Yochol Ishoitz Behatzma, but if he could, Tfilah Se Tfilah. His Tfilah counts. Now, no, we're not saying that it's Mutter, it's Asr even if you can hold off. But with the Eved, the Tfilah counts. Vad kama, what does holding off mean? How long? Omar av sheshes ad parsa. This time that it takes to walk a parsa, which means 72 minutes. So, Again, if you feel that you have to go to the bathroom, you're not allowed to daven until you go to the bathroom. In the event that a person did daven, be'isr, he shouldn't have. So if he was able to hold off for 72 minutes, he's yotze b'di'evet. Now, as we discussed before, what's that? Well, a person can know himself. I mean, sometimes people know themselves. Yeah, right, so that's definitely not enough. Person has to be able to know that he can. If he doesn't know, then he shouldn't daven, then he's got a problem. But again, this is all not really relevant to l'chatchila anyways, because l'chatchila you're not allowed to daven even if you can hold off. L'chatchila you have to make sure to go to the bathroom first. Now, as we mentioned before, but the eved, for defecation, definitely a person is not yoitze. But a machloik is about urination. If a person davened when he had to urinate and couldn't hold off for 72 minutes, that's a machloikis.
So should everybody from Mishnah go to the toilet and try to go to the bathroom before Mishnah, or just if they have?
Well, if a person mamish doesn't feel any need, so there's no need. We saw that in Shacharis, you know, when you start the day, a person is encouraged to try to go. But by other tefillahs, if you have any feeling, you go and you try to go before davening. If not, you don't have to. You don't have to. What's that? Yeah, but it's always an issue, right? I don't know of such a chiyuv. I don't know of such a chiyuv. Meaning, you see, you're not allowed to daven without, and if a person feels something. Well, again, if you're talking about Mincha and Ma'ariv, it's not going to be so long. Shachris is a mitzvah anyways. By Shachris there is a mitzvah to check yourself beforehand. What's that? Yeah, I guess it all depends on the reality. Depends on the reality. If a person feels something, he has to check himself out. Now, right? It's good to use foresight. Right. Okay. Now, ikad masni la masnisa. Some state this with regard to the following brisa. The Bais itself says it, meaning it's not that these Amaralim said it, the Bais itself says this. When do we say you're not yoytzeh the tefillah? If you were not able to hold your, if you wouldn't be able to hold off for 72 minutes. If you weren't able to hold off. Aval miyokhol amud al atzmai, but if you were able to hold off, tefillah say tefillah. But tefillah counts, b'diyev. Vad kama. How long must you be able to hold off in order for it to count the Yevet? Omar Zvid, Zvid said, Ad Parsa, till a Parsa. Okay. What's that? Bach. Okay. Yeah, before it was Zvid or Rav Yehuda. Yeah. Okay. Now, Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omar Rabbi Enoson. If a person needs to go to the bathroom, he shouldn't daven. As it says in the pasuk, he koin likras elikecha Yisrael. You have to prepare yourself to daven in an appropriate state. Again, it's as we discussed before. We have to treat our relationship with Hashem with reverence. And therefore, you have to present yourself before Hashem in the most presentable way, inside and out. Bal teshaktu. Do not do abominable things. Yeah. That, though, is an issur derabbanan. It's not really an issur d'oraisa, so the place can say it's an issur d'rabbanan. And yeah, that's right. In general, a person should not be holding himself up back. Yet, there's still a difference. Because Bal Tishaktu is only relevant when a person really has to go. If a person knows he can hold off for another hour, not 72 minutes, but he can hold off for an hour. Let's say a person can figure it out exactly, okay? He knows he can hold off for an hour. There's no Bal Tishaktu there. Bal Tishaktu is only when a person is mamish, you know, holding it in. Okay? But For davening purposes, that's not enough. For davening purposes, your body should be clean, which means that if you feel anything, even if you can hold off for another 2 hours, you have to clean yourself out. But yeah, but if you were able to hold off for 72 minutes, you'd feel it counts. But that's the difference between Baal Peh Shatzi. Meaning, in other words, you're asking a question. If it's always prohibited to hold back, what's special about davening? But that's the answer. Normally, if you know you feel in a mild way that you have to go, there's no chiyuv to go running right away. When it comes to tefillah, even if you just feel it in a mild way, you're mechuyev to go clean yourself out. Well, that's really the point. The point of that chiyuv, where it says "Vaya machanecha kodesh, your camp shall be holy," really means when you're davening or engaging in Torah things. Meaning, the camp in which you're going to be going about your spiritual life should not have anything unclean around it. So you're right. That's really what that pasuk is saying. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. My diksiv. What's meant by the pasuk that says? This is a pasuk that's going to connect back to our subject. But first we're going to expound it in a general way. Pasuk says, watch your feet when you go to the house of Hashem. What does this mean? So the truth is, the pasuk continues. It's a longer pasuk. It says, watch your feet. Watch your feet when you go to the house of Hashem. V'karev lishmoya, and be close to hear, mites haksilim zevach, from the fools who give a karban. Very ambiguous pasuk. I'll read the whole thing in English just to show how ambiguous it is. Sometimes if you translate it, it just sounds ambiguous because of the translation. Watch your feet when you go to the house of Hashem. Be close to hear, rather than a fool giving a sacrifice because they don't know how to do evil. Clear pasuk? Profound lesson? Changes anybody's life? Not really, not yet. So let's see, what's this pasuk talking about? Watch your feet when you go to Hashem's house. This is a pasuk in Koheles, which means Shmor atzmicha sheloy techta. You have to break it up as follows: Shmor raglecha, watch your feet, keep your feet from having to go places. Meaning, keep yourself from sinning. Vim techta havei karban lefanei. Because if you do sin, you're going to have to go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a karban. So, save yourself the walk. Don't sin. That's what the pasuk is saying. Shmar raglecha. Watch your feet. Now, kasher telech el Beis HaLikim. Now, if you are in the situation that you did sin, and now you're going to the house of Hashem, the pasuk continues, v'karev lishmoya. Be close to hear. If you did sin, be close to hear. What does that mean? Omar Rava, have a karev lishmaya divrei chachamim. Be close to hear the words of the chachamim, meaning approach it like a chacham. If you did sin, you don't have to approach your sin like a sinner. Approach your sin like a chacham. How does a chacham approach a sin? Shem chaitim, if they sin, mevim karban va'oisim tshuva. They bring a karban and they do tshuva. Mites ksilim zevach, rather than be like a fool who's bringing a karban. Meaning, al tehi ksilim shechoitim umevim karban. Don't be like a fool who sins and brings a karban. Ve'ein oisim tshuva, and doesn't bring it. Doesn't do tshuva. Meaning as follows, the pasuk is making a simple point here. People often get caught up with the rituals and forget the point. Person sinned. He has to bring a karban chatos. As far as he's concerned, it begins and ends with the Karban Chatos. He doesn't realize that the point of the Karban Chatos is to inspire you to change, to inspire you to regret. So if you are bringing Karban, don't be a fool. Don't just bring the Karban and say, alright, I did what I needed to do. Now, back to business. The point of the Karban is that it should manifest, it should express tshuva, regret, and resolve not to make the same mistake. And then the pasuk continues, don't be like a fool who brings a karban in this way. Because they don't know how to do evil. See, that's the problem with being a fool. A fool doesn't know how to do evil. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, "Ihachi tzadikim nino." Person who doesn't know how to do evil, that's a tzadik. So the Gemara says, "No." Here's what the whole pasuk means. El. What it means is as follows: Al tihi kaksilim shechoytim u'meviim karbon. Don't be like a fool who sins, brings a karbon. Sometimes a person can just get so caught up with the ritual and is completely detached from what's behind it that he doesn't even know why he's bringing a karbon. Because of something good, because of something bad. He knows that every so often, you know, something happens and the rabbi tells him, oh, you got to bring a karbon. So he walked into shul Shabbos morning, turned the light on for everybody, and the rabbi tells him, you have to bring a karbon. So he doesn't know, is this a karbon toida because I was the one who was zeicha to turn on the light for everybody? Or is it because I sinned? Or is it because my wife was a nida last week? Right? There's all kinds of circumstances that can warrant karbonis. So, he brings a karbon, and that's that. No. Realize, and the truth is that this is true for all the mitzvahs. We're saying it here with regard to a karbon. But this is true for all the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs have a point. Right, the main point is the emotions, the feelings, the awareness that's accompanying the mitzvah. Otherwise, it's like body without a soul. Okay. So now, so Hashem says, they don't even know the difference between good and bad. What are they bringing karbanos to me for? So that's explanation one, number one of this pasuk. Watch your feet. Prevent them from having to go to the house of Hashem. Don't sin. If they did, then approach it like a chacham. Learn the lesson of the karbon. Don't be like a fool who brings a karbon without having any clue as to, is this karbon meritorious? Does it show a zchus, an aveira? What? So again, let's apply this to all of our spirituality. Imbue the external things you do with soul and mind. Now, what does all this have to do with our Gemara? So Rav Ashi v'itemar Rav Chanina bar Papa Omar, either Rav Ashi or Rav Chanina bar Papa said, pasuk means something else. Shmor nikovecho b'sho sh'ato oimed b'tfila lefonai. When it says, Shmor raglecho kasho telech el beis elikim, watch your feet when you go to the house of Hashem. It means, watch your feet is a nice way of saying, watch what's between your feet. Make sure that you come to Hashem clean when you come to daven before Hashem. As we've seen, you might remember we saw earlier in the Masechta that the Meiri says that this whole concept is also symbolic of the way we should work spiritually. When you approach Hashem, you don't come with filthy baggage. Not physically and not spiritually, right? Any filthy baggage you get rid of in the bathroom in the morning. And in the same way, any filthy spiritual baggage you get rid of before you daven.
On the real level, and even after you went to the bathroom, you're coated with this stuff. So who do we fool? Hashem certainly sees.
You answer the question.
I may not have the urge. That's only insofar as I'm concerned that I have to empty. But if you're looking at it the way it really is, we're prostrate.
You continue the question. Now answer the question.
I may not agree with the other side, but he's telling you to answer. You know,
what's that?
He's telling you to take the other side.
You can answer the question.
You would say that it's sufficient to be out of urge. That's what you would say.
Well, that's obviously the answer, but you didn't answer the question.
You would say, insofar as, since it's all insofar as we're concerned, so we have to take care of our, insofar as we're concerned, and that's the limit of that.
That's it.
We have the urge, we take care of it.
Exactly, meaning, we do our best to make ourselves as presentable for Hashem. Same thing on the spiritual level also. You're never going to get rid of all your spiritual filth. Yet, our life is about getting rid of as much as we can. That's right. We, on the contrary, it's good to realize that. You approach Hashem with a humble state of mind, realizing that at the end of the day, the very fact that I'm a... basically, what am I? I'm better off than most people because I'm a lighter pile of flesh than most people my age are. But what are you, coming to Hashem, presenting him with a hunk of flesh, right? That's what you're serving Hashem with. Yes, approach it humbly, it's good. If you're a little bit of aware of what's going on the inside, that's good too. Yes, approach Hashem humbly. And you tell Hashem, look, there's so much I can do, but I'm doing my best. That's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants. And on the contrary, use the point that you raised to approach it even more humbly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Actually, if you remember, we even said in the name of the Arizal, a very amazing idea that he said, that this actually has a lot of significance. Like we said about a lot of these things, don't think that these things are just technicalities, you know, problems that you have to avoid. You go to the bathroom, it's just a means of being clean. The Arizal says that, well, it's foreign based on the Arizal, say that the going to the bathroom before davening, you precede your daily avoida with going to the bathroom, corresponds to, we know that your davening corresponds to the carbon born in the base of Mikdash, which was preceded with the Trumas Adeshen. First thing they did before bringing the daily Tamid was that they cleared the waste off the Mizbeach. And that going to the bathroom before davening in the morning actually corresponds to that. It's an avoida in and of itself. An avoida of making yourself presentable to Hashem. It's a fulfillment of service of Hashem. Person should go to the bathroom, shachar. You know, different people might have 10 minutes is pretty tight, but yes, person should spend the time it takes to go to the bathroom properly and to prepare himself properly. Yeah, what's that? Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah says that less than half an hour to prepare to wake up less than half an hour before davening is not really. But the truth takes more. Yeah, sure, it helps. No, a half hour, not just for going to the bathroom. In general,
preparing your mind as well.
Yeah, preparing your mind, getting to shul in time enough. But the truth is that no, half hour is minimal. But yeah, get yourself in the right mindset, huh? Yeah. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Was that included in that? It seems that the hour that they waited before davening was pure meditation. That's what it seems. So I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Fine. All right. So yeah, I'll just again hammer in that point again. You have to realize when you're taking care of all these things, when you're cleaning yourself, when you're going to the bathroom, and this, that you're not just engaged in technical preparations for tefillah. You are engaged in the mitzvah of being mechabed Hashem, which sometimes can be even greater than the mitzvah you're preparing for. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. We'll introduce the next subject, but we'll really get into it next time. Bezus Hashem. Tanur Rabbanan. No. I said sometimes, meaning you never know when the value of what seems to be a technicality can actually carry more weight than an actual mitzvah. What? Tavas HaNeiros, right. What seems to be a technical preparation for a mitzvah can carry an awful lot of weight. I don't know if I would say more than the mitzvah sometimes. I don't know. But can carry an awful lot of weight. So that's when a person is preparing for davening, he's actually engaged in the mitzvah of being mechabed Hashem. Right? It's not just a technical preparation. The person is cleaning himself and making sure that he's okay. This includes also brushing your teeth before davening, washing out your mouth. These are all halachas. You want to make yourself as presentable and pleasant as you can for Hashem. And yes, cleaning out the inside of your body too. Okay. What's that? Today maybe. In earlier times when they bathed once or twice a week, so they say it's not an activity you should be doing before davening. what they actually do say, like today, when a person davens every day, and his point is, he wants to, if it's just because it's more convenient to take a shower before davening, it's actually better not. So it's not to engage in personal activities before davening. When a person is showering because he feels sticky and he doesn't want to daven this way, then that's called the covenant of the tefillah. Okay. Tanu Rabban. Now it says in the Brass, we introduce the next subject. Hanichnas lebeis hakisei choylitz tefillin berochik dalet amis venichnas. Earlier times they used to go around with, they used to wear tefillin all day long. So when a person enters the bathroom, he should take his tefillin off 4 amis away from the bathroom. Now, as we'll see soon, in those times, in some situations, they actually carried it into the bathroom. We'll see. But yet, a person should make a point of taking it off his head beforehand. There's going to be a lot of details we're going to deal with here. So we're just introducing the subject. How you treat tefillin or other divrei kedusha when you're entering a bathroom. And although this is not going to be so relevant for us with our tefillin, this can also be quite relevant to, let's say, sidurim that we carry in our pockets, etc. All right, we'll see.